Marama Lasker has a tshuva about minhagim, that people, cities, accept upon themselves if it's binding on the whole city. If the parents accept minhagim on themselves, is it binding on their children? And in the middle of what he's talking about, he says the following. He says, we also find Haigavim Megillas Tainus. We find that parents can accept upon themselves minhagim of making a yontif, and it's binding on their children and applies to their children too. It's kavua and it becomes a yontif in the family. The Gemara brings it down in Erevin, and it's also in Megillas Tainus, and it's also Maseches Tainus. Omer Belazov Reb Tzadok, Anomi Mishpachas Bnei Sino Ben Binyamin Ani. I come from the family of Sino Ben Binyamin. And one time Tisha B'Av fell on a Sunday, on a Shabbos, and was pushed to Sunday. V'nidcha Achra Shabbos, V'saninu Bo V'lo Yishlanu. And we ate after Chatzos on Tisha B'Av. Why? Mipneshi Yontif Shalonu Hoy. Because it was a Yontif. It was our Yontif. When they came back to build the second Beit HaMikdash, so in time of Ezra, there was a shortage of wood for the Mizbeach, and there were certain families that donated wood on a regular basis, right? And they made that day of the year, they would be the ones to bring wood for the Mizbeach. And since there was a shortage of wood, and these people were very kind to make a nedava like that, they made it kavua that every year that they would have the schus of bringing that eitzim, even if there was already wood, they would use their wood for the mizbeach. Kedisha perbasu taniyos, the nagu osu ayon yontif, and they made that day a yontif. There were yomim tovim during the second Beis Hamikdash, and this was a yontif for that family. This happened in the time of Ezra, generations before Rebbe Elazar Reb Tzadok, who said, I descend from the family of Sino ben Binyamin. That means generations later, the family still was observing that yontif, even after Churban Beis HaMikdash. Elakivin shavosav hayu makrivin korban boso yom, v'asu oso yom tov, kol mishpachto nogim bo yontif lola. So Alma Filu Minig Bialma should Nagu Avos Lasus is Yom Asara Bob Yomtif Nagu Bo Abonim Adolam. That minig stands, and even their children keep that day as a yomtif. And a yomtif means that, for instance, if it comes in conflict with Tisha B'Av, that's a nidcha, you don't have to fast like having a bris on that day. If somebody would have a bris on Tisha B'Av Shenidcha, he's allowed to eat after Chatzos, it's his yomtif. So too over here, the yontif was made because of a schus that they had of bringing karbonos in the Beit HaMikdash, and that yontif remained. So you see from here that it's possible to make new yomim tovim, what's it called, and they're binding even after Churban Beit HaMikdash, even in Golos, those yomim tovim are binding. The prichadash, see what the parameters of making these new yomim tovim are, but lamaisa. That is, and there was a whole Megillas Tainus of Yamim Tovim, the Klal Yisrael had, not just Mishpachos, but the Klal Yisrael had during the second Beis HaMikdash. Different Nisim happened in regards to many different things that happened during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. And because of those Nisim, they made a Yontif, and those Yamim Tovim were celebrated. Now, they weren't Yamim Tovim with any kind of mitzvah. They were just Yamim Tovim. He didn't say Tachanun in our vernacular. Right, and if it came, let's say, in conflict with a fast day, right, a nidcha, then you could eat after chatzos, right? It was like a bris, or that kind of yontif, and could be you weren't allowed to fast on that day, and you weren't allowed to say what's it called, well, tachnun or kel moli rachamim or things like that, and if it came, let's say, during sfira, you'd be allowed to shave and take a haircut. Right, because it was a yontif. And if it conflicted with some day of Avil, the Avil will be nidcha because of this personal yontif or because of the Klal Yisrael yontif. So the Prichadash says the following. Yesh tzas yechidim bedoreinu zeh, shal yedei she'iru lohem nisim, kavu ba'osu yomim yom tov v'doros. There are people, and he says, in our generation, that because nisim happened to them, they made a yomtif on the day the nes happened, and they made it for all generations and their children. V'chein b'mitzrayim, od hayom, iru lohem nes, she'kavu osu yom mishte v'simcha v'doros. V'chein b'tshuvas maram alaskar, simim mentes, maisi mi'ir acha, she'tiknu lasos, es yom yur alef l'chodesh tebes, ki yom purim l'chod dvorov. That Maram Alaska we mentioned. Later on he brings down that there was a city that had Nisim happen on Yud Aleph Teves, and they made a Yom Tov on that for all generations. Is there such a thing that you can create a yomtiv and it's binding on future generations and it has a din of a yomtiv? So he brings down in what's it called, the Gemara and Shabbos, that Megillas Tainis was a list of, it was the first Torah Shabbat Peh that was written down. It was a list of all these kinds of yomim tovim where nisim happened and they made minor yomtivs. The only two that we know of that list that are remain is Chanukah and Purim. Those are the kind of yontif we're talking about. No Isser Malacha, and Chanukah and Purim were different because there were special mitzvahs attributed to them. All these other ones had no special mitzvahs. They were just days. You didn't say Tachnun, you didn't fast, and so on. You didn't say a Hesped. Okay. And he brings down that Gemara. Then he says, Om the Macher Ha'iyun, Nire, Dehani Yomim Tovim, Vahani Sudas Kula Dirishus Nino. No such thing. It's not a yontif. It's only a Sudas Rishus. You want to eat a nice meal and have a party. You can make a party anytime you want. But it doesn't become a Sudas Mitzvah, and the day doesn't become a Yant. Okay, why? Ve'ein bohem kedei litchos afilu tisha b'vdochli. And there's no power, therefore, to push away any halachas of Abel. In other words, if it comes in conflict with a tisha b'av, even a nidche, you're not allowed to eat. It's not like a yantif that you have a bris that day or something like that. It's not. There's nothing. No. There's no force of halacha for that day. You want to celebrate it, gezunter hey, it's just the rishus. And therefore it doesn't push away anything. If people, by mistake, had this minute of making this day and making a suda, and then they saw what I'm going to write, they can forget about it. They don't need to have Taurus and Dorin, because they made a mistake. There's no such thing. The Maram Alaskar is wrong. Can't Bizman Hazeh make Yomim Tovim like that. And the children don't have to keep it up, even if they started to do it. It's a minik tos, right? Why? He says, because the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that Megillas Tainis is bottle. Bottle of Megillas Tainis. And why? Because the Gemara says bottle of Megillas. Once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so all these nisim, right, and the simcha that accompanied it is bottle. Because the Avelis of the Churban Beis HaMikdash totally overrides it. Right, and that's one reason the Gemara gives, and the Gemara says another reason because, and then the Gemara says, well, can you make new ones? The Gemara says if the old ones were bottled, because can you don't make new ones? If the ones that they already had that had force when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed were bottled, surely you don't make new ones. He says based on that, the Gemara says Beferish that Bizman Hazeh after Churban Beis HaMikdash, there's no such thing as Megillas Tainis anymore. Not the old ones that they used to celebrate. And if the old ones already are bought, you can't make new ones. So there's no such thing as making a new Yomtif Bizman Hazeh after Churban Beis HaMikdash, right, to celebrate anything that has the din of a Yomtif. Again, you can celebrate anything you want, but it's a din of Rishos and has no halachic validity to it. Okay, that it could push away any kind of din that would come opposite. You'd say Tachim, and you, what's it called, you could say Hespedim, and there you have to say them. There's no reason not to. You have to say Hespedim, you have to say Tachim. And you, what's it called, can't shave during the Omer. It's not a Yontem. And you can't eat on a Tisha B'Av Nidche. It's not a Yontem. That's what the Pri Chodesh says. So we have a machlokas between the Pri Chodesh and the Maram Alaskar, whether Bizman Hazeh, there is a concept. We didn't yet see what the parameters of that concept is, but is it even theoretically possible if something happens to make a yontif? The Maram Alaskar says yes, right? And then we'll have to discuss under what conditions. And the Puri Chodesh says, no, there's no conditions, that's it. There's no way of making a Yontif Bizman Hazeh, right, in any way, because Megillus Tainus was bottled, and if the old one was bottled, you surely don't make new ones. How do we paskin? So the Magen Avraham in Hilchas Megillah, Tafresh Peivov, what?
The stages of the where they
when they lived. The Maharam Alaskar lived, I think, around the 1400s, and the Pri Chodesh in the 1500s, I think, after. They're Machron, both. Both are Machron. Maharam Alaskar was an early Achron, and the Pri Chodesh also was an early Achron, but not that early. Okay. In Tafresh Peivav, the Magen Avraham brings down this idea, and he says, yeah, he brings down like this, Tafresh Peivav, Sif Dalet, Sif Kotten Dalet, Mishenichnus Ador Marvin Besimcha, Mishiesh Lodinam Akum, okay, Yecholim B'nei Ir, Letakein Bohem Kimo Uvecherim Aleim, Ve'alaboyim Achareim, Lapsos Purim, Maram Alaskar, and he doesn't bring down the Pri Chodesh. I say she passes like the Maram Alaskar that you still can make Yomim Tovim even Bizman Hazeh. That's the Magen Avraham. And more recent is the Chayyad. The Chayyad, in the end of Hilchas Megillah, says the following. It's in Simin Klau Kufnun Hei Os Memalis. Mamish, the end of Hilchas Megillah. Mishiril on Nes, the cause came Bneir, an individual, a Nes happened to him. Surely a whole city that a Nes happened to them. Yecholim Latakin Bahaskoma Alehem Vialaboy Macharein Lasos also Yom Tlipurim. They can make that day a Yom Tlipurim for themselves and for all generations after them. The nearly the also sudas shosim b'shvil hanes he sudas mitzvah achlafi dvarim, and it's a sudas mitzvah. Okay, okay. Any nes that you make lezecher zichron niflos Hashem is a sudas mitzvah. The lokum oshikasa pri chodesh davi sudas v'shus, not like the pri chodesh. Here he mentions the pri chodesh b'feirish. Not like that. We don't hold like that. We hold they could make a mitzvah sudas mitzvah, and you can make a yomtiv, right? And okay, the old nearly the loka pri chodesh shari Rav Yavetz, the Rav Yaakov ending lo isana b'tishu of shenitcha k'rabalozim Rav Tzadok mishyamtiv shalohu. The Rav Yaakov ending had a nes that happened to him on Asara Ba'av, and one year Tisha B'av fell on Shabbos, and Asara Ba'av was Tisha B'av nitcha, and he ate after chatzos yamtiv, right? Just like the Gemara says, and he didn't hold like the pri chodesh that it was bottled bisman hazeh. The hein of the svar lay low bottle Megillus Tainus. He tells that Megillus Tainus wasn't bottle. The nice Gemara passes it was bottle. We have to see what he means, right? Then came Tasha, even the Kaimelon bottle. The Maisa, we hold it was bottle, right? And the Pri Chodesh said that Rav Elazar Rav Tzadok, who after Churban Beis Hamikdash ate on Tisha B'av Shenitche, he held that Megillus Tainus wasn't bottle, but we hold it was bottle. Halach is it was bottle. So what are we going to do? Rav Elazar Rav Tzadok, who said that I came from the family of Sina ben Binyamin, and we used to have a yomtiv during the time of the Beis Hamikdash, and it still applies today. It's no kasha on him. He held that Megillus Tainus lo bottle. So if it wasn't bottled, then we don't have the svara that if the original ones were bottled, surely you can't make up new ones, right? But it wasn't bottled. But l'maisa, we hold l'halacha that Megillus Tainus was bottled. So how could Rabbi Yaakov Emden make a yomtiv on Asara Ba'av and eat and consider it a yomtiv when it's connected hadin, like the Pri Chodesh says, the chen osan yomtiv shosim b'shvil mitzvah hein megillus tainus kishu v'shalmi, right? Kein marosh shalol lisanos el arkochet el inyan zeh batla shalol lasos hayomtiv akol Yisrael. He said, what was batla? That you can't make a yomtiv for all of Klal Yisrael. Megillus tainus, all these Yomim Tovim that were Megillus Tainis were for all of Klal Yisrael. That, when the Gemara says the original ones were bottle, all of them are bottle, right? That means Bizman HaZeh, you can't make a Yonta for all of Klal Yisrael anymore. There can't be any new Yomim Tovim, right, that has a din of a Yonta, even for Nisim, for all of Klal Yisrael. Okay? But I will call Yochid Bizman HaMitzvah Yonta Shul Shalom. But a Yochid, a Mishpacha, a city, a country, as long as it's not all of Klal Yisrael, can have their minig of having a yontif on the day that the nes happened, and that's not what the Gemara is talking about. So, according to the Chai Adam, as long as it's not something that's instituted for all of Klal Yisrael, you can still have yomim tovim bisman hazeh for cities, individuals, families, and so on. Right, zafka yontif v'chol Yisrael batla. V'achina v'kimin she'osn l'zecher niflosav havi mitzvah. So now we have the Magen Avraham doesn't mention this, that it can't be for all of Klal Yisrael. But the Magen Avraham is mashma, the halacha is like Maram Alaskar, even though he only mentions it regabi a city, right, or individuals, but doesn't seem to say there's a difference between something for all of Klal Yisrael or not. The Chayodam has a middle shita. All of Megillus Tainis was bottle if it's for all of Klal Yisrael. If it's not for all of Klal Yisrael, that halacha doesn't apply, and you can make a new yontif as long as it's not for all of Klal Yisrael. The Chassam Sofer has three tshuvas, and each one he says something different. So it's not 100% clear what the Chassam Sofer holds. The Chassam Sofer in Kuf Samach Gimel brings a raya from Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer was the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva. Obviously, it was after Churban Beis Hamikdash. Okay, it was after his Talmidim. He didn't have Talmidim till the end of his life, after he was 80. And that was already after Churban Beis Hamikdash. And yet, we were koveya Lag BaOmer as a mixus yantif. We don't say Tachnun, right? And the laws of Sphira are, what's it called, abrogated, lifted for that day, even the ones who have Sphira afterwards.
They only started because
of Tomei Derabbi Kiva. Yeah, whatever. But we have an Avelis, but you also have a yantif. And it's that yantif of Lag BaOmer. Right, for whatever the reason is, because it could be from Shem Bar Yochai, whatever. It's not clear why there's a yontif on Lag BaOmer, but there is a yontif. And even though it's in the middle of the Sphira time, everybody holds that Lag BaOmer is mutter, because it's some kind of mixus yontif. It's not because it's the end of the 33 days after, because there are minhagim, right, the major minhagim, that start on Rosh Chodesh and go all the way till Shlosh Yisrei Hagbala, and it's all period of mourning, yet this day is mufka from the morning. So, and that was after Beis HaMikdash. Says the Chassam Sofer in this tshuva, that the reason that it was okay, Batla Megillus Tainis. Batla Megillus Tainis is only for those Yomim Tovim that had some connection to the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, those were Batla, and you can't make new ones that would have some connection to the Beis HaMikdash. Since the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, any Simcha that was generated indirectly due to the Beis HaMikdash was Bak. Menela, any new Simcha that would have some kind of indirect connection to the Beis HaMikdash would also be Bakl, because the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. But any Simcha, any Nes, any Yontif that had no connection at all to the Beis HaMikdash, like the thing with Talmid Rabbi Akiva had to do with the Hilulah of Shimon Bar Yochai, whatever it had to do with, right, had nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash, those Yom Tovim weren't affected by the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And he says, the idea is, because there's two reasons the Gemara gives. One reason is, if the first ones were bottled, surely you can't make new ones. That, l'chor, has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. But the second reason the Gemara gives is that since the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so the Avelis is mevatel the Simcha. That's only something that had a connection to the Beis HaMikdash, where the Avelis, the Beis HaMikdash, overrides the Simcha of the Nes that had to do with the Beis HaMikdash. But anything that had nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash, so the Avelis of the Beis HaMikdash has no connection to being mevatel that. There's no connection between them. That's what the Chassam Sofer says in that tshuva. Now, in another tshuva, he wants to say, and it's not, this is what he means. He says that therefore it's only Nisim that happened in Eretz Yisrael, which are bottled after Churban Beis HaMikdash, because they have Shaychus to Beis HaMikdash. But Nisim that happened in Chutz La'aretz, those, have no connection to the Beis HaMikdash, those aren't bottled. He says, like Lag BaOmer. Now, that doesn't make sense, because Talmidei Rabbi Akiva were not in New York. They were in Eretz Yisrael, right, clearly. Right? So it was Rabbi Akiva. So in Stama, what the Sam Sofer means is not Chutz La'aretz in Eretz Yisrael, but this idea, something that had Shaychus to the Beis HaMikdash. And most of the things, the Nisan happened in Eretz Yisrael, had some connection to the Beis HaMikdash. Those were bought. But even ones in Eretz Yisrael that had nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash, that's what he calls Nisan with Chutz La'aretz. Mustami, you have to say something like that, because that's basically what he's saying. So to make the difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz doesn't mean where it happened, it means what connection it had to the Beis HaMikdash. So there he's pretty clear that the halacha is not like the Pre-Chadash, and the Pre-Chadash is Taina, that the Gemara says that the original ones were bottled. How can you make new ones? He says that's not the Iker Tam in the Gemara. The Iker Tam is because of the Avelus of the Beis HaMikdash, and that only applies to something as a connection to the Beis HaMikdash. In Yoredeya, Simon Reish Lamed Gimel, the Sam Sofer also speaks about this, right? And he speaks about going to negative Pre-Chadash, right? And he says, and he's over there, he's talking about a minig they had in Frankfurt. When he was became the Rav in Frankfurt, the Sam Sofer, so he found that they had a Yontif there. I don't remember which day of the year it was. And Ir Moledes, I guess he was born in Frankfurt, I mean. The minig was that they had, they had a Yontif, and he said, I was Miyashiv the minig. But he said, Lamaisa, Be'emes, a person should be Choshish for the Pre-Chadash, and not consider those days Yomim Tovah. So it wasn't clear to him that the Halacha was like that, but he tried to be Malamed Schus on his city, that they had that minig, why the Halacha could be not like the Pre-Chadash. Why the Halacha could be like the Maram Alaska. And in another tshuva, what's it called? In Yoredeya, the Chassam Sofer also is not 100% clear whether lechatchila you can follow the Maram Alaskar or not. In any case, lahalacha, even though the Chassam Sofer in one place seems to say clearly that the halacha is not like the Pre-Chadash, in other places he seems to say that maybe it's not so pashut, but at least if they have the minig already, there's a place to mimakai in the minig, so it's not so clear that you could really make a new yontif lechatchila, where it has, again, you can do anything you want, celebrate anything. Right? You can celebrate your birthday too. But it doesn't have a din of a yontif. Shaila is, halachically, does it have the parameters of a yontif? And is it a sudas mitzvah if you make a suda? In any case, so that's the chasam so. But we saw the chayodim, paskin, b'feirish, with the condition that it's not called Yisrael. It's not for Gans Klal Yisrael. And we saw that the Mogen Avraham paskins like that, and doesn't make any conditions. And the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Megillah also says the halacha is like the Maram Alaskar. And I don't remember, somebody got a Mishnah Berurah Chelek Vav, I don't think he mentions the Tanai of the Chayodim that can't be for Kol Yisrael. I think he just says it like the Mogen Avraham. You can make a yontif for a nes. He doesn't say it can't be for Kol Klal Yisrael. He's basically saying the Mogen Avraham. He just mentions, though, the way that it's brought down, a whole city can make it. It's not clear whether the Mishnah Berurah is saying only a city and not Kol Klal Yisrael. Right? And since he doesn't mention specifically like the Chayodim, it's Mashmi is not quoting the Chayodim. He's quoting the Mogen Avraham, who doesn't make any conditions. Okay. What are the conditions of making a yontif? So there are things that are a yontif and a sudas mitzvah intrinsically, a bris. So the bal bris and the sandik, right, and the moel, right, and the baby, if it would be nogeya, all are bali simcha in that yontif. Nobody else is. But that those people, therefore, if a bris happens during sfiri, they can all shave. Okay, a chosen, the day of his chosen. If what's it called? Like my son will be married like Ba'omer night. He'll be able to shave. He's not going to. There's a different reason. But because we have a minig in the family not to shave or take haircuts the whole. Some of the family had the whole steer. That's a different reason.
He's
not going to take a haircut either. In any case, but he could, because his yontif, but not, it could be not anybody else who comes to the chasen. It's not their yontif. So those are things that are intrinsically. There are things that. In the time of the Beis Hamikdash, the Rabbanan were koveya as a yontif because of nisim that happened. And nisim, now the Sfarim say the nes that we're talking about has to be a nes where there was a danger. And this is some Sofer says. Where do we know you can make such a yontif? Right? How do they make Purim? So the Gemara says a kal v'chomer. If the Torah made a yontif, may avdus lecherus. Jews' lives were not necessarily in danger in Mitzrayim. They were slaves. When they became free, there's a yontif. So in may avdus lecherus, there's a yontif. May mavus lechayim akoshike, where a person's physical life is endangered and he's saved from death to life, we have a kal v'chomer that you make a yontif. That was how Purim. And we're talking now about making a yontif like Purim. Okay, Chanukah we'll get to a different time. But by Purim. And that's the fact that the Rabbanan made a yontif of Chanukah. That's a separate takon. But the way that anybody can make something is only like a Purim. It says all these mekoros are you can make a yontif like Purim. So what is the yisod of Purim? The yisod of Purim is that if from avdus lecherus there's a yontif, mimavus lechayim, surely there can be a yontif. And therefore, in any situation where a person, a family, a city were in danger of their lives, and miraculously, and it doesn't have to be a nace that's shaloba derech hateva, because Purim wasn't a nace shaloba derech hateva. Purim was dafka nace bederech hateva. And a nace happened, a nace, but it was bederech hateva, something unusual, right? A person was in a car accident, and according to natural things, he should have been killed, and he wasn't. A person had a fire, and naturally, he should have been killed. And something happened that was a nace, but if the nace happened to Derech HaTeva, then you can make a yontif. You should make a yontif. And that day becomes a yontif, and it has the dinim of a yontif by Purim. Not with the mitzvahs of Purim, but ein maspidim, and ein misanim, and memele you don't say tachnun, and what's it called? You can eat a suda, it'll be a suda mitzvah.
Even if the nace happened on Yom Kippur?
Not. Shabbos yet, but there's Yom Kippur. But we're talking where it comes in conflict with Dinei Rabbanan. Okay? Even Tisha B'Av you can't eat. You have a bris. You have on Tisha B'Av. Only a Nidcha. Nidcha already is one step lower. Okay. Now, let's see if Yom HaTzma'ut fits the bill.
Does that mean that we can only do something mechaim l'mavet from mavet l'chaim, or we can also do me'avdus l'cheres? Because the whole kal v'chomer is avdus l'cheres and kal v'chomer.
It could be though that from avdus l'cheres that's where the rabbanan shalom made it. It could be, but the svarim all say that avdus l'cheres right didn't apply by Purim itself. Why? Because mikara avdei b'chashverish v'hashta. Therefore, as long as the galus still exists and Mashiach didn't come, there's no Avdus Lecheiros. Avdus Lecheiros has to be total, right? But Bizman Hazeh is still Shibud Malchios. There's still a good portion of Yidden that live in Chutz Laretz, and that not necessarily even can come to Eretz Yisrael. Even if you hold that Medinas Yisrael is Cheiros, Geula, whatever, right? Which is very difficult to say, okay? Even if you hold like that, there's still a good portion of Yidden that are in Golis, right? And the fact that there's a Medinas Yisrael doesn't make them out of Golis. Especially
Golis by choice? Does that count?
No, some are not in Golis by choice. Right? There's a good number of Yidden that are still, and the truth is, there's still Shibud Malchios, Bizman Hazeh, no Shaita. And that's far I'm saying, until Mashiach comes, right? And that means Mashiach. Okay. In any case, so many people hold Mashiach came too, but either of them are irrelevant. The so it's a shaila of Mavis L'chaim. So what happened on Hey Eir, right? Was that a situation where Jews were saying Mavis L'chaim? The we'll see in 1 second. There's another thing also that one of the poskim mentioned, the Gabi Hey Eir. So what happened on Hey Eir was the United Nations voted in November of 1947 that there should be a partition of Palestine. The Jews should get a small portion and the Arabs bigger portion, and there'll be two states. Right? What the Palestinians are clamoring for now, they could have had it in 1947 in a much bigger way, and they're the ones who refused it. And the Arabs threatened that if the Jews declare a state based on this, motion or this decision of the United Nations, then they would declare war and throw us all in the sea. And there was a big shaila whether they should in fact declare a state or not, because they knew that if they declared a state, there would be a war. On the other hand, if they didn't declare a state, there was other factors. There were Jews who had nowhere to go after the Holocaust, who were being sent around the world and eventually back to Europe. And any Jew went back to Poland, Ukraine, wherever, Hungary, were basically killed because the Goyim there, not the Nazis, were bigger anti-Semites than the Nazis were. They helped the Nazis kill Jews during the war.
They also didn't want to get back to their houses.
And people coming back wanted to come and reclaim their property. They didn't want to, they thought they did. And they took over their property. So people were summarily murdered. Mamsh. So the only place, and no country wanted to take in any significant amount of Jews, including America. And the only place that was possible, and the British wouldn't let Jews into Eretz Israel. If they tried to come here, some came, you know, illegally or whatever, and some didn't make it, and they even had border patrols that killed Jews trying to come here, but the majority of them they took to camps in Cyprus. And eventually they were going to send them back to Europe. So those Jews' lives were in danger. And when they, the only solution was to declare a Jewish state, open the borders, and all those Jews who had no place to go, who were survivors of the Holocaust, would be able to become into Eretz Israel. And that was one of the cheshbonos why they decided to declare a state. Now the state was supposed to be, the deadline to declare the state or not was, I think, May 15th, 1948. I think that was the date, which was Vav Eir. Vav Eir was a Shabbos. Ben-Gurion had enough sense to know that if he declared the state on Shabbos, which is the day that the British mandate ended, that it would not be a good thing. Not as halacha, but just pragmatically, right, it would cause a lot of problems if it was on Shabbos. So he therefore preempted, and they declared the state on Friday afternoon, Hey Eir. So the Askel Avdi, Rav Avadya Hadaya, who was a dayan in Yerushalayim in the time of the Hakamas HaMedina, when the state was established, a Choshev HaPosek, quoted by everybody. He happened to be aligned with the Mizrahi, but Lemaisa, he was a recognized posek. He brings a shaila about taking a haircut on Hey Eir, right? Does it have a din of a yontif? And he brings down a lot of the things that we mentioned. And he says it doesn't fit the criteria, because nothing happened on Hey Eir that was mimavas l'chaim. Just the opposite. And once they declared the state, that night, the War of Independence started. It's not that the War of Independence ended on Hey Eir and the state was won. The state was declared and the Arabs declared war. So the War of Independence started. And a lot of these Jews who were sent from the camps in Cyprus or came over, you know, were just waiting to come into Eretz Israel, came on Friday and were given rifles and sent to the front Friday night and died before they ever saw sunlight in Eretz Yisrael. Many Yidden were like that. And therefore, theoretically, or more actually, nobody's life was really saved from anything. They went from the frying pan into the fire because there was a new Sakana. There was never a time that they were saved from Sakana because now they were back in a country where there was a war that was just declared. So, and in addition, he says, right, even let's say that day was what's it called? But no nays happened on that day. It was an arbitrary day. Ben-Gurion could have declared the state the next day. There was nothing that happened that day that made it possible to declare the state. That was a nays. It was just an arbitrary, what's it called? So even if you'll say that their lives were saved that day, but it could have been the day before, the day after, or whenever Ben-Gurion decided to declare the state.
Ben-Gurion didn't have to do himself.
What? The right. But the nace, a nace, nothing happened, a nace, that saved people's lives. Right? It was a declaration that had nothing to do, if a nace, you want to celebrate a nace, but nobody's life was saved then, was when the United Nations voted. That could have been the nace, right? That the United Nations voted such a thing. But at that point, it also was only theoretical that people's lives were still in danger. So the nace was never coupled with the saving of lives, and the saving of lives never happened when on Heir. That wasn't the day that people went mimavus l'chaim. So he said, therefore, it doesn't have the halachic status of a yomtiv. Aye, on that day, we got back Eretz Yisrael. That's not a criteria for making a yomtiv. V'horayah. Right? Do you know the date that Yahushua finished conquering Eretz Yisrael and they started dividing it up? There were 7 years that they conquered and 7 years that they divided up. There must have been a day where that separated those 7 years. Yeah? So, was there a Yom Tov that they celebrated every year in the time of Bayis Rishon to celebrate Yom HaTzma'ut HaRishon of Kibush Eretz Yisrael? No such thing. Okay, something more similar to our situation, Ezra. Ezra got permission from Persians to set up the second commonwealth. There must have been a day that they came and they started, settling Eretz Yisrael the second time, right? Yom HaTzma'ut HaBayisheni. There was never a day they celebrated. Didn't fit the criteria, right? How about the day they built the first Beis HaMikdash? We know when that was. It was, on Yom Kippur. And they made 7 days and 7 days Yom Tifet, but they didn't make it the next year. They didn't have it on an ongoing basis. There was no Yom Tif ever to celebrate the building of the first Beis HaMikdash or the second Beis HaMikdash. So those are not criteria for making a Yom Tif. The criteria for making a Yom Tif is only, like we said, Mavis L'chaim, a Kal V'chomer from Purim, and with a nes. Neither of those things happened on Heir. So either people who say that it's a Yom Tif, what do they say? So they say that Enachinami, right? There was no L'maisa Mavis L'chaim, what's it called, on Heir, because people's lives were in danger, but they were saved from one danger. One danger they were taken out of. Now there was a new danger, that's two separate things. Right? You celebrate the nes that saved your life from this thing. Now you're in a new danger. Okay? That's two separate things. You could see that that's not a very strong argument, right? If you need a nes that mamash, like Purim, they didn't go into some other sakana that same day. They were out of the sakana. At least here, they were never out of it even for a day, even for a minute. And the other thing is, they made this takana for all of Klal Yisrael. In other words, everybody, even in New York, they celebrate Yom HaTzmaut, probably more than they celebrate here. And that, the Chai Adam says, can't be no matter what. Even if you have all the Kal V'chomers in the world, Megillus Tainus was bought. And you can't make a Yom Tov for all of Klal Yisrael. You can make it, so for the most would be the people in Eretz Yisrael, in one country, right, one city, whatever. And the truth is that people whose personal lives were saved, they were in the camps in Cyprus. Their lives were mamish in danger. And on what's it called, when the state was proclaimed, their lives were saved. Many of them made a private Yom Tov on that day. Not because it was Yom HaTzma'ut, but because their lives were saved. Right? And it maybe was a mixus. It was a b'derech hateva, a nes. So for those people, right, who went through it, they definitely could. But to make a Yom Tov for all of Klal Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael were saved from a danger, that's not true. because Eretz Yisrael was still in danger as Eretz Yisrael. So Toshvei Eretz Yisrael, that didn't apply to. And again, the ones who say that theoretically there was Mimavis L'chaim, and also Rav Gorin says very rightly that the ones who made the Yontif, and he was one of them who held that, didn't do it so much because of halachic reasons, but more hashkafa reasons. In other words, they held this was Geula. Right, this is the end of Shibud Malchios. This is Mamash mi Shibud Shibud Lecheirus. Right, me Avdus Lecheirus. And if your hashkafa is like that, then the halacha follows suit. But if you don't have hashkafa like that, and you don't think the Gullus is over, and just because there's a political entity called the State of Israel doesn't end Gullus, it's not Reishis Smichas Gulaseinu. I heard personally from Ramosha Feinstein. He didn't tell it to me personally, but I was at a convention. I was sitting like as far from him as I am from Mayer, and you also. He said that concept of Reishis Smichas Gulaseinu is a toast. There is no such thing. It's a mistake. There are Chashuva people. It's not a mistake. But Moshe Feinstein, Lamaisa, held it was a mistake. He says no such thing. He said, there's no such thing as a geula before Mashiach comes. It's either Midrashim that say the geula is a slow process, that's after Mashiach comes. Look at the Rambam. It says it with Eretz. When somebody comes and claims to be Mashiach, so how do you know if he's Mashiach or not? Somebody claims, not other people claim he's Mashiach. He claims to be Mashiach. So he needs certain credentials. If he has those credentials, he's a tzaddik, a Talmud Chacham, he's a person who's brought most Jews in the world back to Torah, made a tshuva movement, and most Jews came back to Torah. So these are all the conditions. He can prove he comes from Malchus Beis David. Then he has the credentials. You have to assume he's Mashiach, and you have to treat him like a king and listen to him. When do you know if he's surely Mashiach? If he does two things. He builds a Beis HaMikdash and brings all Jews back to Eretz Israel. If he does both of those things, he's Vadei Mashiach. No shy. He doesn't have to do any miracles, no nothing. All he has to do is do those two things. Says the Rambam, what if he claims to be Mashiach, he has all the credentials, and he doesn't do those two things? And he dies, or is killed, or whatever. Right? Or an inordinate amount of time goes by, and it's obvious he's not going to do it. And he's not Mashiach, says the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't say, well, we see if he'll come back from the dead. He just says he's not Mashiach, period. Right? He didn't do what Mashiach was supposed to do. He's not Mashiach. And he's not a bad guy, he just, there was a test. The Rabbanu Shalom, he could have been Mashiach, it didn't work out. Right? Nothing wrong with quitting being Mashiach, right? He didn't do anything wrong, right? He wasn't a Navi Sheker or something. He just was not Mashiach. Nothing wrong with being not Mashiach, but he's not Mashiach, theory. That's what the Rambam says. In any case, so I always timed that the Lubavitchers and the Zionists should get together. Because the Zionists have a Geula without Mashiach, and the Lubavitchers have a Mashiach without Geula. So if they got together, they'd have a Mashiach and Geula, it'd be great.
But Mashiach
ben Yosef? What? Mashiach ben Yosef, first of all, is a person, right? And Mashiach ben Yosef is not Geula. Mashiach ben Yosef is Dafka before Geula. We're talking now about somebody coming, right? Mashiach ben Yosef is, first of all, the Rav Sadia Gaon says doesn't have to happen. It's Shaykh that it only happened under certain circumstances. But Mashiach ben Yosef is not Mashiach, not Geula. It's a prior thing to Geula.
Maybe what the Zionists are referring to.
No, because they hold that there's Geula. They hold that Reishis Michas Geula Seinu, that there's an idea of Geula before Mashiach comes. And it's already a time of Geula. We're no longer in Shibud Malchios. It's a time of Geula, which is not, there's Rav Moshe finds, there's no such thing. There's no such thing as Geula before Mashiach comes. As he said, no such thing. And even Mashiach ben Yosef, if it happened, whatever, right, is not what they said. They still didn't say nobody came and claimed to be Mashiach ben Yosef. They claimed that the tkufa, the Mashiach ben Yosef is a period of time. It's not a person.
Right?
What?
Where is that based?
I have no idea. And even if you assume that, it's that period of time. It's not called Geula. That's pre-Geula. Right? The Gemara says that what's Aschalta de Geula, the beginning of the Geula, is the wars that will precede Mashiach. That's surely not Geula yet. Still, so there's no concept of beginning Geula until Mashiach comes. That's what the Rav Moshe Feinstein said, and that which the Midrashim say is from the time Mashiach comes, and after. It's a slow process, not beforehand. Again, there are people not like that.
I don't think that the Zionists proclaimed Yom HaTzmoes because of the nisim that Hashem made.
There's all different kinds of Zionists. The secular Zionists, for sure, we're not talking about secular Zionists, we're talking about religious Zionists, who made the secular Zionists didn't make it a Yom Tov either. They didn't say Hallel, they didn't say not to say Tachnun. The Panav Yisroel once said, you want to know what I do on Yom HaTzmaut? The same thing Ben Gurion does. I don't say Hallel, I don't say Tachnun. But the truth is, the Panav Yisroel didn't say Tachnun on Yom HaTzmaut. But more, not because of the declaration of the State of Israel fit a Yontif not to say Tachnun, because he was here. And his life was in danger, and the Maisa, the state, changed his matzah. So he didn't say, but the Chazon Ish, on the other hand, in order not to make it even a suffix, that he made this into a yontif. And Chazon Ish also held, you can't make any takonis. No one has the power to make this man hazeh takonis for all of Klal Yisrael, similar to what the Chayyadim says. There's no way you can make a yontif for all of Klal Yisrael. So it has no validity for as a day of not saying tachnun. If he was a sandik by a bris on Yom HaTzmaut, he used to say tachnun. That no one should think he's not saying Tachnun because of Yom HaTzmaut. But the Panav Yisroel Tzadik didn't say Tachnun, but more for his own, like I said, the people who were there at the time was a different story than for generations after. Talking about people who lived through it.
The end of the 60
wars.
What? The end of the 60 war, there was all of Klal Yisrael in the Eretz Israel was in danger.
The problem is that they didn't even make Yom Yerushalayim because of the Mavis L'chaim idea. It's not it's only because we recaptured the old city. So even the Rabbanut didn't make another Yontif. Why not? They could have, but nobody did. Nobody even raised the idea. Why not? Because there wasn't a real Mavis L'chaim. The war never ended. We're still in that war. It was just a matter of Pesach's man until the Yom Kippur War. There was never a stop in there was a ceasefire for a while. There was never a peace thing. It was a temporary lull. Since the War of Independence, there's never been a stop of that war. All the wars that happened after that are just a continuation. We've never been in a situation where we haven't been at war. And therefore, even the Rabbanut, even the Mizrahi, never made a Yontif on the Six-Day War, except for the fact that we got back Yerushalayim, which again is not the parameters of making a yontif. And the fact that the Yidden were saved from death, it was a temporary reprieve because the same sakana continued on. It was a battle won. You don't make a simcha at the end of a battle, only at the end of the war. The war never ended. Mainly, I agree with Rabbi Gorin, and for one thing I mean, that the yontif that was made was more based on hashkafa than on halacha. Because if you look at it pure halacha, it doesn't hold water. If you look at hashkafa, this is geula or whatever, then why not celebrate the geula? But if you don't hold like that, and Rov Gedolei Yisrael didn't hold that this is geula, right, that there's, and the Moshe Feinstein said there's no such concept, then there's no makor for making a yontif with the conditions that Yom HaTzmaut has. And therefore, to shave, take a haircut, listen to music, anything that abrogates Sphira has no halachic basis. Not saying Tachnun has no halachic basis. And the next thing is say halach. Right? Okay. So let's say it is a yontif. Okay? Let's say that according to those who hold it is a yontif. Do you say Hallel on every Yontif? You don't say Hallel on Purim. And the Gemara says many reasons why. Some nace that happened in Chutz Laretz. That Bukhara wouldn't apply over here. There's a nace that happened in Eretz Yisrael. Again, going on that side, which we said is very shaky, but let's even assume that there's a reason to have a Yontif. So what does that Yontif entail? So then another reason why on Purim there is no Hallel is because Meikara Avdei the Achashveirish Vashta. You only say Hallel when the Mapola, when an empire falls, and you're free from that empire. But if you're still under the same empire, then you don't say Hallel. Okay, there again, it would depend. Is this called Me'abdus L'cheirus, not called Me'abdus L'cheirus, as Shibud Malki is finished. Okay. There's one other condition, Tosfos says. The condition is, okay, let's even assume that this is called Me'abdus L'cheirus, and it's what's it called, the Bittul of Shibud Malchios, and therefore you could say, and it's a miracle that happened in Eretz Yisrael, still you don't say Hallel for all miracles like that. It has to be a miracle, Tosha says, that's Shalom Kederech HaTeva, and it is what's it called, it applies to all of, it happened to all of Klal Yisrael, or at least most of Klal Yisrael, because Rubo Kekula. In other words, most of Klal Yisrael were in danger of their life, like by Purim, because Achashverosh ruled over basically the whole world. So Jews, wherever they were in danger. And he was going to destroy the entire world Jewry. So most Jews' lives were in danger. And a miracle happened on that day. And according to some, it has to be a miracle here that Shaloka Derech HaTeva, right, that would necessitate Hallel. It's like Kriyas Yamsuf. To say Hallel has to be like Kriyas Yamsuf. There's a Chaim Sha'ol from the Chidor. He says a nace happened to his community, and they made a yontif. The shaila was, do they say halal? With a bracha, without a bracha, do they say halal? He said, no. Based on this idea, Tosu says, Mefarish, it has to be a nace that affects Rove of Klal Yisrael. This only affected his community. And they don't say halal. He says they should come to the shul and say halal ha-gadol, hodu la-shem kitov, that whole hodu. Say that is Tehillim. But halal, there's no makor for saying halal, unless it's a nace that happens to Rove of Klal Yisrael, mimavis l'chayim, and very possibly has to be Shaloka Derech HaTeva, Mamisha, a supernatural nace. What? So the Megillah takes the place of Hallel. It was a nace that happened in Chutz Laaretz. It was a nace that wasn't it was under Shibud Malchio still. Whenever there's still Shibud Malchio, until Mashiach comes, there won't be another Yontif to say Hallel, according to this. Okay, but there are those that say that Mashiach come, or at least Geula started. So that's not a good enough reason to say not. Tell you 1 second what they do say. Now, they don't say that for the reason. Because Maisa Mashiach hasn't come. Right? Even if you hold that it's not Shibud Malchios, still, it's not that Darga of Mashiach. So they don't use that as a reason to say Hallel. And it's, the truth is, until Rabbi Gorin, they didn't say Hallel with a bracha. And the Chidor says you shouldn't even say Hallel without a bracha, because it's a hefsik in davening. If you want to say Hallel after davening, he says, right, stam is hodor to the Rabbanu Shalom, not as a din of Hallel, because Hallel, you're not allowed to say Hallel as Hallel when you're not supposed to say it. Because it says, kol akore Hallel b'chol yom, mecharif megadif. If you say Hallel when you're not supposed to say it, it's worse than not saying. But if you say it as Tehillim, that could be okay. And without a bracha, there were those that held that you could say it in the place where Hallel, but without a bracha, because it doesn't fit the criteria 100%. That was the shy. The what's the svara to say Hallel from Rabbi Gorin's time on? They started saying Hallel with a bracha, and his reasoning was the following: two basic reasons, and both of them you'll see are very, very weak. One reason is that what's called Rove of Klal Yisrael, right? The nace has to happen to Rove of Klal Yisrael. Rove of Klal Yisrael at the time that the state was declared were not in danger of their lives. Most Jews were living in America at that time. Right, or in other countries where their lives were in danger. There was a danger to a significant but small number of Jews who were survivors of the Holocaust and the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael, which was not a big Yishuv at the time. They were definitely not majority of Klal Yisrael. So he says, the Gemara says in Horios, that if Rove of Klal Yisrael, right, listen to the Beis Din, listen to the Sanhedrin, and Sanhedrin made a mistake, and they told you, they said you can do something that's really Osir Bekoris, and you have to bring a Chatos if you did it, and the Sanhedrin said it's okay to do, by mistake. And Rove of Klal Yisrael listened to them, then there's special halachas about bringing special korbanos. Okay, Par Helim Dover Shal Tzipur. Now the Gemara says, Beferish, how do you know, how do you determine Rove of Klal Yisrael? The Gemara says, you count all the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, and if most of them followed the Sanhedrin, then that's Rove of Klal Yisrael. There could be 10 Jews in Eretz Yisrael, and 10 million Jews in Chutz Laaretz. If 6 of the Jews in Eretz Yisrael followed the Sanhedrin, that's called Rove of Klal Yisrael. Because the Jews in Chutz Laaretz don't count. Says Rabbi Gorin, see, that's only the Jews in Eretz Yisrael that count. and the Jews in Chutzlars don't count. So this nace, where people's lives were in danger, right, and could be that the fact that the Medina was allowed to be a thing, was a nace, mamash lo b'derech hateva, could be, fits the bill. What's the problem with that? There are many poskim who hold that that halacha is only legabe parhelim davar shel tzibur. It's not a law that whenever you meet rov of klai, so it's only the Jews in Eretz Yisrael count. It's special for that. Why? Because this halacha has to do with korbanos. It has to do with what's it called, with the Sanhedrin. And all of that is centered in Eretz Yisrael. The Jews in Chutzlars have no shaychus to korbanos. They can't come to the Beis Hamikdash and bring a korban. Right? They're out of the picture. So this halacha depends on that. V'haraya. There's other halachas of rov of Klal Yisrael, and they have different criteria. If rov of Klal Yisrael are tame on Erev Pesach, you bring the Korban Pesach Betuma. How do you know which is rov of Klal Yisrael? The Jews who are in the Azara ready to make Korban Pesach. They count. A Jew who's in Yerushalayim, in Ramot, doesn't count. Not just he's in Chutz Laaretz, because he's not part of the people bringing Korban Pesach. So you see that what's considered rov of Klal Yisrael depends on that halacha. This sort of like Yosef says, and many others, that this halacha of Tarhel and Davar Shel Tzibur, where the Gemara says B'Theirish, that only the Jews in Eretz Yisrael count, is not because Jews in Chutz Laaretz don't count. It's because for this halacha, they're not nogeya to the halacha. Nela, they don't count. It's only the people who are in this shaila count, not somebody who's out of the shaila. Mashain came by Korban Pesach, it's only the people in the Azara that count. But for this halacha of making a yontif for all of Klal Yisrael, and saying Hallel has to be that it affected Rov of Klal Yisrael, Jews world over. There's nothing to do with Jews in Eretz Israel specifically. And if it only affected Jews in Eretz Israel, and they're not Rov of Klal Yisrael, then it didn't happen to Rov of Klal Yisrael, and there's no makor to say Hallel. That's what most poskim hold. But that's what one svara. The second svara, Rabbi Gorin said, if you're already making a virtual mimavis l'chaim, in other words, really, it wasn't mimavis l'chaim, because the people whose lives were in danger were still in danger, because the war was a thing. But you're making this avert. Lemaisa, their lives theoretically were saved from that danger, even though actually they were in another danger. So once we're accepting that concept that you're going to have a virtual Mimavis L'chaim, then, well, Jews in America could be in danger at some time because of anti-Semitism, and now they have a place to come called Eretz Israel to save their lives. So virtually, the whole world could have been in danger, and their lives were saved because now there's a potential for Jews to come to Eretz Yisrael, which in itself is not so poshut, that just by coming to Eretz Yisrael you're going to be saving your life from what's going to be somewhere else, not so poshut either. But and also the possibility of being able just to get on a plane at any time and come to Eretz Yisrael and be saved is also not so poshut, because in the time of Hitler, right, even if there had been an Eretz Yisrael, people wouldn't have been able to get on planes and just say goodbye to Hitler and go to Eretz Yisrael, right? They were constrained a little bit from just traveling anywhere they wanted to. So the fact that there's a free Jewish state that will accept anybody doesn't save any situation conceivably that would come up, mimavis l'chaim. And this concept of virtual mavis l'chaim is a very shaky inyan, which no other posek even mentions. So those are the two reasons why it's possible it would fit the parameters of saying halal, which you can see neither of them is accepted by kemat any other posek. So to say Hallel, even the Rabbanut in the beginning said, even if it fits to make a yontif, it doesn't fit to be able to say Hallel, and therefore they only said Hallel without a bracha, which other poskim hold is also not allowed. And the only one who held, and when he became Rabbi Rashi, he instituted it, right, that they should say Hallel with a bracha. So today there are still some who say with a bracha, some who say without a bracha. The majority of poskim and Gedolin, right, held that since hashkafically we don't hold that Medinas Yisrael is Geula, and out the regular clothing of Mimavis L'chaim, it doesn't fit the parameters, so there's no Indian of a Yontif, and there's no Indian of being able to abrogate Sphira. The laws of Sphira still are intact. There's no Indian of saying Hallel. And if you're not allowed, there's no Indian to say Hallel. Could be you're not allowed to say Hallel, like the Chaim Sha'ol says. And unless you say it as Tehillim, not as Kriya Sahalo, and not in davening, only after davening, which we used to do here at the end of davening. Anybody wants to can still do it on their own. And Hallel for sure even the poskim who hold that it's a yomtiv, hold it doesn't have the parameters of being able to say hallel. So that's pretty much why the majority of the yeshivisha world over doesn't recognize Yom HaTzma'ut as a yomtiv. When my Rosh Yeshiva Gifter lived in Eretz Yisrael, so the Mizrahi people in Telstone came to him before the first Yom HaTzma'ut that he was here. They asked him if he minds if they fly the Israeli flag over Telstone on Yom HaTzmaut. So Rav Gifter said, I don't mind. I live in a country. When I lived in America, I flew the American flag on July 4th in my house as a patriot. I live in the state of Israel. I have to be a patriot to the state. I have no problem with flying the flag. My problem is not with the secular Zionists or secularists who make Yom HaTzma'ut as a day of commemoration of the Independence Day of the state. I have no problem with that. I have a problem with you people who make it into a yontif when it doesn't have the criteria of a yontif. You can't just make a yontif whenever you feel like having a yontif. There has to be criteria. If it fits the criteria, fine. I don't say tachnun on Vav Shvat because of the fire we had in the house. And there, if you want to read it in some book or whatever, Ine Hashem, the story is there. It's not exactly right, but you can see right. It has me sipping a cup of coffee by a shear. I haven't drunk coffee in my life. But I guess you see the stories, you know, get enhanced and embellished. But it fits the criteria, right? And I asked Rav Eliyashiv, and I told him the circumstances, and he told me that, based on this, what's it called, Chayodim, and based on the, what's it called, the Mishnah Berurah, whatever, you should make a Yantah. And it's Mamash Yantah. And if Tisha B'Av would fall on Vav Shvat, right, there would be a Nidche, I would eat after Chatzos. Unfortunately, Tisha B'Av has never fallen on Vav Shvat yet, even as a Nidche. But,
right.
Right. But I don't say Tachnun, and we have a Suda, and it's a Suda's Mitzvah, and that's it. But Yom HaTzmo doesn't fit the thing, and you can't just make a Yantah because you feel. Now, let me just end with this. There's a lot more that's done. The criteria could be no tachnun, maybe hallel, without a bracha, with a bracha. There's some halachic basis. But if you go to a lot of the places where they have the ceremonies, so Friday, what's it called? Yom HaTzmaut night, what do? They sing some ketayim from the Chododi that speak about Geula. Okay, so they have Shabbos there. They blow shofar. They sing Lashon Haba B'Yerushalayim. They don't sing the Lechadodi things?
No, they say the part of Lechadodi.
In my time, and in Miami, they used to have a community-wide Yom HaTzma'ut celebration, Yom HaTzma'ut night, which I never went to because they had live music. And I said, I'm sorry, but for me it's fear. I halachically hold that I'm not allowed to listen to music. I can't come. So, and all the other rabbonim were there, whatever, and the kehilas, and inevitably, every year, my president, who usually was more or less the religious Zionist, would get jabbed from the other shul, especially after I had a breakaway shul, and the other shul said, where's your rabbi? Like, you know, so one year, he said, he came to me with a big smile on his face, and said, this year I got him. That was the year I was preparing to move to Eretz Yisrael. So they came to him and they said, where's your rabbi? He said, well, he's busy packing to move to Eretz Israel. That like deflated their sales. In any case, but that's what they did. Now in the morning they have a haftorah, even if there's a kriyas haftorah, the haftorah with no brachas, but haftorah, and they have what's it called, something else also. Od Hayom Benov, the same Haftorah for Pesach. And I heard a tape many years ago that Dr. Lukin sent me. Rabbi Soloveitchik Zatzal walked into a B'nai Akiva minyan in YU, not knowing what he was walking into. He won the davening, the minyan. It was a Yom HaTzmaut. And he saw them saying Haftorah and Hallel. And he left the minyan in very angrily, and he gave a shiur, a 2-hour shiur that I heard. It says mine. I don't know the other thing. 2-hour shiur that he gave with really angry, saying that, you know, look, halacha is halacha, and emotion is emotion, But to make things that have no shaykhus to halacha, haftorah, you don't say on Chanukah and Purim. No haftorah, right? What's it called? How could this be more than Purim? Right? There's no halachic basis. There's a halacha when you make haftorah, when you don't say haftorah. You don't say haftorah on Chol HaMoed. Right? On Rosh Chodesh, you don't say haftorah. With brachas, without brachas. What difference does it make? You can't make up new things. He said they daven with a niggin of Yontif on Yom HaTzmaut. Does anybody daven with a niggin of Yontif on Chanukah or Purim? Purim, maybe, yeah. But that's what's Purim. Right? That's not the reason, right? That they do it on Purim. What, you can't do things that have no halachic basis, right? Just because you feel like something's, you like something. Right? There are people who like candles you could light for a Sudas Mitzvah. But there are people who say Kiddush. Without any brachas, except Bray Pregoff, and they make a Kiddush for Yom HaTzmaut. Right? You make Kiddush on Chanukah and Purim. Right? There has to be some basis to make something, and these things like, were not made by the Rabbanut HaRashid. They were made up by the Kibbutz HaDati. And Stam, like, you know, the Satmar Rebbe said a very true thing. And nothing to do with this specifically. It applies to a lot of things. He said, the Medrash says, V'yar Elokim es kol asher osa v'hine tov ma'od. Tov ze yetzer ha-tov. Ma'od ze yetzer hara. The simple meaning is that if we'd only have a yetzer ha-tov, it would be a good world. But the fact that we have a yetzer hara and a person has a choice, right, that makes the world very good. That's a simple meaning. He said the pshat like this. If something's good, then it could be the Yetzer HaTov. If it's too good, it must be the Yetzer HaTov. Tov ma'od. When you go overboard and it's too much, it can't be, you know. There are people here who don't say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, not here, right? People don't say Hallel, but on Yom HaTzmaut, they say it twice. That's already like, so again, there. My Rosh Yeshiva said by the Six-Day War, he gave a shiur similar to what I just told you now. Is there a place to make a yontif after the Six-Day War? Is there a place to say hallel? He went through all these shitas, and his maskana was, doesn't fit the parameters. But, he said, I could think of worse things for a Jew to do than put his talis over his head and say hallel, what's it called, on Yom Yerushalayim. Now, I could think of worse things that a Yid could do. I hold it's not right, hold it's not proper, right? But you don't say a bracha, you want to say hallel to the Rabbanu Shalolim, I could think of worse things for a Jew to do. That's what he said. He wasn't a Zionist. And I said, that's a Matzias. But to do something that has some halachic basis is one thing. To start making up things, that's already baltosik. That's adding to the Torah, and it shows that it's not so much the halacha that interests you, it's you want to do what you want to do, right, and do it any way you can, that already is true. That concept is true.
Second generation already doesn't realize that anymore. They think it's rubber note to whatever, and people made it up.
That's why I've said a shir on Yom HaTzmaut, which is not the one I just gave you now, that's the tail end, about 1,000 times. And then every year I have to say it over and over again. The last few days I've said it about 7 times. I can say it in my sleep. I ask my wife to hear if I'm saying it in my sleep. I tell them, I'm not interested in convincing you one way or the other. You have parents, you have rabbanim. If you follow them for everything, follow them for this too. If you don't follow them for everything, you have to follow the das of Rav Gadol Yisrael. And I'll tell you what Rav Gadol Yisrael holds. But the main thing is you should appreciate why you're doing it. Know why you're doing it. You can't just do it because you feel like doing it. Right? You have to do it because there's a halachic basis. If you sit on the floor and say Eicha and Kinos on Yom HaTzmaut, you should know why you're doing that. And you should appreciate why there are people who do that. You may not agree with them, but there's a basis for that too. You should appreciate whether people who don't say Hallel and do say Tachnun and don't change anything and don't make it a yontif, but don't sit on the floor and say Eich and Kinos either. Right? They have a certain positive feeling about the state also. Appreciate why people do that. And there's people who say Hallel with a bracha. Appreciate why they do that. As long as you understand that there's a basis, right? Then there's halacha. What halacha do you have to follow? Right? So there's klolim in that too. If you do it because I'm following somebody who says there's a basis in halacha, and I follow that person, then you know the person who tell you, he'll have to answer after 120 years. But you're doing what you're supposed to do. But if you don't realize, and you don't understand why you're doing what you're doing, and you don't understand why you oppose what other people are doing, then it's not becomes everything's emotional, and that's a terrible thing. Because when it gets emotional, it gets really carried away. Right? You know, there's a machlokas, whether you say halal with a bracha on Rosh Chodesh or not. the Grah, and it's based on Rishonim. But the Grah holds the halacha that you don't say hal with a bracha on Rosh Chodesh unless you daven b'tzibur, and only the Shliach Tzibur says a bracha. But Yechidim don't say the bracha, and if you daven at home, you don't say a bracha b'chlal. Only the Shliach Tzibur and Yisro Amen. And that's, I think, Sfaradim also hold like that. It could be some Sfaradim, whatever. And the Grah holds like that. And the Rambam says not like that. Yeah, Sfaradim also like that, or not? What? No beginning bracha. Okay. So, I never saw anybody get into a fist fight over saying a bracha on Halal on Rosh Chodesh or not. It's halacha. You do what you, whatever you follow Minig Agro, you do this, you follow this. But in Miami, and I'll end with this story, to see how emotional this is. We used to have the shul minion like we do here. We didn't change anything. And I explained why, what's it called? You have to have Masorah, and my rebbeim basically hold what I told you now. It doesn't fit as a yontif. You have to say Tachnon. It doesn't fit as Halal for sure. And therefore, we say a regular thing. But there was a Bnei Akiva group that met in my shul. And they asked me if they could have a minion in the shul, a Bnei Akiva minion. And I told them as long as they don't say Halal with a bracha, because that's by me is a big shayla, bracha levatala. Right? If you say Halal without a bracha, and you don't say Tachnon, you can have your minion. And anybody who wants to go to that minion can go to that minion. Anybody who follows people that hold like that are welcome to go to that minion. And I permitted that minion in the shul. And it went very nicely for a few years, until one year I overslept on Yom HaTzmaut. And I came late to shul. And instead of finding two minyanim davening, I found people in the courtyard of the shul cheering on what was something that was going on in the middle of the circle. Everybody was around the circle. And when I got into the circle, I saw two distinguished doctors beating each other up in their towels and tefillin. What had happened? One of the doctors was a very ardent Mizrahi pro-Zionist, religious Zionist. The other doctor was a very ardent anti-Zionist. He was more Naturi Karta than the Naturi Karta they ever met. And they didn't like each other altogether. So this was just an excuse. The Bnei Akiva minion didn't have a minion at 7:30 when the davening was supposed to start, because most of the Bnei Akiva minion was made up of teenagers who don't know what 7:30 is. So there were a few men there, like six, and they needed four people. So this doctor said, we can't sit around here and wait to start davening at 7:30. Right? You want to, get on to the barbecue. This is not, can't sit here all day and wait for these kids to come. So he went into the main shul, and he asked a few of the older men, would they mind coming and joining the minyan until people came, and then they could go back to the shul. So this other doctor came over to him. He said, not only are you an apikoris who says halal on Yom HaTzmaut, you're a mesis umeidiach and a machdias harab. What do you want from these innocent old men that, what's it called, that have no intention of davening with your apikursus minion, right? And you're pulling them and being machti them, right? So obviously the other doctor didn't take to that too, right? So they started yelling at each other, and then they started beating each other up. And everybody else said, hey, this is much more interesting than davening. So they all gathered around in a circle, and their mom was cheering on their favorite, And this was the Yom HaTzmaut minion of my shul. What's it called? It's a very emotional thing. I'll tell you why I think it's emotional. And for the last time, we'll end with this. Why is it so emotional? Two reasons. In Chutz Laaretz, there's one reason, and here in Eretz Yisrael is a much more serious reason. Rabbi Orbach. Is that his name? No, Rafael Orbach, yeah. He used to be the Rav in Shalavim when I came here. Rafael Orbach. It's very close. He told me, there are Rabbonim that disappear on Yom HaTzmaut and don't show up till the next day. Because no matter what they do in their tehillah, somebody's not going to like it. I just heard this Rabbi Sabato, right? Choshev Yid. I mean, he's not an anti-Zionist. I mean, he's a real. Right? He decided that based on the circumstances that he feels, he stopped saying Halel and Yom HaTzmaut, and he says he's going to say Tachnon in his shul. And the Balabatim decided to throw him out. You can't be the Rav anymore, right? You don't say what we want. What you hear, you're all of a sudden you became apikoros. You're right. You're finished. I don't know if they threw him out or they didn't throw him out, but they wanted to. What? He's a Mamashin on God. But I'm Sabbata. He decided that based on everything that happened with Gush Katif, you can't no longer celebrate Yom HaTzmaut as a Yantar. And he's going to say Tachnun and not say Halo. And when the Balabatim heard that, they said, okay, no more Reb Chaim Sabbata. You're not the Rav anymore. And they got together to throw him out. In any case, so it's a very, very emotional day. And even here in this little place, you know, where we have, you know, our people on all the sides. So far, Baruch Hashem, we have any fist fights. But in any case, why is it so emotional? I'll tell you why. Because if you live in Chutz Laaretz and you're a frum Jew, you've got to have some guilt feelings of not being in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, you speak about Eretz Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. Why aren't you there? Why don't you live there? And there are reasons not to live in Eretz Yisrael. Legitimate reasons. But Lamaisa, they don't fit everybody. So you can then cover up your guilt conscience in one of two ways. You can become a super Zionist, sing Hatikva every time you stand up, what's it called, say Halal on Yom Ha'atzmaut, dress in blue and white, and that compensates for living in Eretz Yisrael. When my Kehila split because I wasn't Zionistic enough. So when I told them I'm moving to Eretz Yisrael to a settlement, they said, that's not Zionistic. Zionists are staying here and, you know, singing Hatikva. You don't have to go there, to be Zionistic. What kind of that to do with Zionism? So you can become a super Zionist, and that compensates for living in Eretz Yisrael. Or you can become a super anti-Zionist. Right? Why would I want to live in that Treifa Medina? It's not Eretz Yisrael anymore. The Zionists took it over. It's Medinas Yisrael, and it's a Treifa Medina, and there's no more mitzvah, and Eretz Yisrael is disappeared because the Zionists took it over. I, the Neturei Karta, live in Eretz Yisrael, and they wouldn't think of leaving even on a visit, and many of them don't even leave Yerushalayim. Okay, Kasha, right? I'm a bigger Neturei Karta than the Neturei Karta, right? So when you're dealing with guilty consciences, it becomes very, very emotional. Here in Eretz Yisrael, it's much worse. There is no family here, families that go back generations in Eretz Yisrael, that doesn't have someone in the family that wasn't killed in some war, in the War of Independence, in the Sinai campaign, in the Sheshet Hayomim, Milchemes, or through terrorists, some cousin, some aunt, some uncle. And if you don't celebrate Yom HaTzma'ut and you don't recognize that there's a value to the state, you're desecrating the memory of their loved ones who gave their lives to the state. That's very emotional. Also, on the other side, there are people who have been here for generations way before Zionism started. They were from the Talmidim of the Gro and the Baal Shem Tov and their descendants. They were part of the Yishuv HaYashem. They settled Eretz Yisrael before the Zionists, before Herzl was born. And secular Zionists came here and pulled the Yishuv away from them, from under them. They threatened them religiously with secular schools and with a war, mamish. They made a war to try to make these people at best irrelevant.
Still going on.
And it's there, still going on. I mean, we only see the aftermath. We don't know what it was like, you know, when it began. We're everybody's happy, everybody's friendly, I'm okay, you're okay, you know. We don't know what these people went through, right? And therefore, there's a hatred for the secular Zionists because of what they did to the old Yishuv. These people were the original ones here. They took away their control of the issue, and they threatened their existence and their frumkeit. Well, it was read history. So there's an animosity that we really don't understand. So the state is the manifestation of that secular Zionism, right? Therefore, they look at it with tremendous animosity towards the state. Celebrate the establishment of the state of Israel, which is basically the establishment of secular Zionism here as a fact, right? That's so you can understand why there are people who sit and say Eichen Kinos, and why there's people who say Hallel with a Bracha, and people who are somewhere in the middle that you know, it's not a yontif. On the other hand, there's positive things, and you have to recognize the positive and be thankful for them, because the truth is we wouldn't be here if there wasn't a state of Israel. I wouldn't have come here to live under Jordan. I don't think so, right? So Lamaisa, we do benefit. So there's a sheet in the middle, and a sheet on this side, and a sheet on that side, and you have to understand that.
It's also a problem the rabbi says often that, you know, when two people have a fight and somebody else gets involved in the fight, it's even worse. Okay, so what happens is most of us who come now says, we don't have this and we don't have that. Baruch right. Hashem, most of us didn't lose anybody in the wars, and Baruch Hashem, you know, most of us didn't suffer from
right.
all the
right.
conflict. So what happens is we start taking sides. We either decide that we're going to be with those guys, we're going to be with those guys, and sometimes it takes
in a chinami. Just in the years when Yom HaTzmaut falls on Friday or Shabbos, I find a tremendous achdus between the two extremes, because the Rabbanut has said that even though Hey Ear is Friday or Shabbos, you push it to Thursday, Dalet Ear or Gimel Ear, and make Yom HaSmut then, and that's when they say Hallel. And there's a machlokas in between them too, when you should say Hallel, when it's just the celebrations, whatever, because it's not really the day. But I remember seeing in Me'asharim signs up that when Yom HaSmut fell like that, they made their tainis on Thursday, which means they accepted the psak of the Rabbanut HaRashit that Yom HaSmut was pushed to Thursday, which showed at least there's some achdus here between the two extremes.